thank you. You're a good God. You're so faithful and so kind. And it's your kindness, it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. Because we get a glimpse of how amazing you are. That you're a good, good Father, a faithful friend. Lord, I just pray that you teach us not to just give you lip service, but to engage our hearts. You truly are worthy of all our praise. It's not just a cliche. You're a holy, holy God. And you gave everything so that we could be holy, so that we could be pure, so that we could come into your presence, so that we could walk with you and know you. So God, we don't take that lightly. But we surrender to you. We honor you, Jesus. And we lift you up. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come. That you would speak to us, Lord, whether it's even in this moment now, or whether it's through the words of your scripture, through the words of the sermon, God. You would transform us. You would bring life. You would bring hope. You would bring joy. God, I pray for those of us who have had a hard heart, where our hearts have been dry, where our hearts have been far from you. I just pray, Lord, you would help us to just open up and say, come, Lord. Come in. Rest in me. Fill me and speak to me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, break through the fear. Break through the doubt in our hearts.
I had a revelation this morning more clearly than I've had before that I deserved hell. I deserve hell. Not because I killed somebody or anything like that, but because so many times in my life I put other things ahead of God. I made decisions that I didn't go to God first for. I was more concerned about what people thought. So many ways I didn't put my God first. I deserve hell. But Jesus paid the price for me. His powerful love, his beautiful grace, that he would go and pay that price so I don't have to experience what I deserve. I'm so thankful to our awesome God.
Are you thankful? Are you thankful to an awesome God? He stepped out of heaven and he invited us to come. To come to him. To find rest for your soul. And he said to learn from him because he's gentle and humble at heart. His burden is light and his yoke is easy. He come to invite us into a life that is filled with his abundance presence. And there's nothing like it. Amen. You may all be seated. How many is glad that God is here? Amen. Thanks, Paul and the worship team, for leading us. God bless our kids. God bless our teachers. You know, I was in Edmonton a couple of weeks ago. And my daughter said, let's go down for a walk down to the river. How many has been at the river in Edmonton? She walked down to the river, and she said, there is a 5-flight of stairs. And she said, when I first came here, I was going to run up those stairs, and I came halfway up, and I couldn't do it. I had to stop. So I said, well, I can do that. And so I ran, and I got to the 4th flight of stairs, and then I just couldn't get in my air anymore. And I had to stop, and I looked down, and she was waving. And then I walked up the last step, and then I walked down. And you know what she said? She said, but now, Hans, now, Dad, I can do it 4 times in a row. And I said, thank you, Janelle, for telling me that. I thought I was going to show you off. Sometimes it's good to get humble a little bit. So the message today, my friends, I pray that you'll be humble enough to know that God is the source of everything. Amen. We've gone through the Lord's Prayer, the Gospel, and the Lord's Prayer. And so if you'll say the Lord's Prayer with me, can we all say it together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So today I want to preach about, give us today our daily bread. And I know for some of you will say, Hans, I don't need that prayer because my fridge is full and my freezer is full. But maybe God has called you to be an answer to somebody else's prayer. Now, bread in the Bible is symbolic of a couple of things. It's symbolic of your physical needs, your basic physical needs. And it's also symbolic of your spiritual needs. It's actually symbolic of the Word of God. And there comes a time when it seemed like your physical needs, whatever they may be, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever they may be, physical needs that you have, such as food, and God's promise, they converge, they meet together, and you have a miracle. How many likes miracles? John Hagee, he always said it like this way. He said, if you don't like John Hagee, that's okay. But John Hagee said, there is a need, there's a promise, and there's provision. There's a need, there's a promise, and there's provision. And when you experience the promise of God in the midst of your need, and you see his provision, you have the miracle. Amen? There's a convergence of your desperate need for whatever that need may be. In this case, give us today our daily bread is our basic needs and his promise. And when they meet, God is your setup for a miracle. All right, I don't get a whole lot of amen for that one, but it is good. So what I did is I asked Jesus, well, show me in the Bible, where did you provide? What happens? And of course, there's many examples. One is in the New Testament when Jesus stands in front of 5,000 people. Well, it says 5,000 men, and then there is women and children, so we're probably looking at 10,000 people. And he's standing there in front of them in John chapter 6. And he turned to Philip and says, Philip, go and buy some food for all these people. How many would like to stand in front of of 10,000 people who are hungry and thirsty and they are in need of some food? How many would like to stand in front of them and not knowing what to do? Well, Philip answers the way that probably most of us will answer and says, it takes half a year or more of wages just so they have a little bite. What he's saying is, that's impossible, Jesus, but Jesus had a different plan. How many knows that sometimes we have one plan, but actually God has a different plan. And when we somehow are headstrong going for what we think is the answer, we have not stopped to see, Jesus, what is actually your way of doing this? I got one yes on the front pew, guys. How many has ever sometimes forgot to stop and ask Jesus, is this actually the way to do this? And wish you had. Well, Jesus was about to perform a miracle. The need was impossible, but there was a promise coming. If I think in the Old Testament, how many knows that God can provide in all kinds of different ways? Through people, through ideas, through opportunities, through skills, and sometimes supernaturally. Totally. Well, I'm thinking in the Old Testament, Moses is standing in front of not 10,000, but probably about 2 million people. And in the desert, how many knows that food doesn't grow very well in the desert? There is nothing. And there's no animals. And the people are grumbling. How many is grumbling after you've eaten for a few days? They're grumbling. It's better back in Egypt in slavery when there's, well, we actually had some food, but now you brought us out in the desert to die. And I don't exactly know how Moses prayed, but I suspect he bowed down and says, God, these are your people. You led us here. God, what are we going to do? They are hungry. They're not going to kill me if you don't feed them pretty soon. I don't know if you pray like that, but I suspect, because that's how I would have prayed. And then he God answered. In Exodus 16, he answered and says, I'm gonna give you manna from heaven. I'm going to give you bread. Just collect enough for every day. For your needs for every day. Just one day at a time. And it says, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? Manna means, what is it? And Kelly gave it away. For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is bread that the Lord has given you. And he had told them, you know, don't gather up for more than one day and only what you need. He was teaching them something. Sometimes God wants to teach us something. He was teaching the Israelites to trust him on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Now, the bread is also spiritual bread. And God wants to teach us that we need the spiritual bread every day. Yesterday's bread is stale. You need some fresh bread every day. Amen. And God provided, amazingly, fed them, about 2 million people for 40 years. Food, clothing. Absolutely no conditions required. Just gather it up and make some porridge or bread or whatever you can come up with. Probably had to figure out different recipes because they had it for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. Now there came a... I'm in here. Have sometimes experienced God's blessing. You didn't earn nothing. It just came. You got a tax receipt that you just hadn't planned. I mean, a tax rebate. You hadn't planned it. Or an inheritance. Or something came. Man, it just came in time to bless you. And it wasn't because you did something. It was simply because God just wants to bless you. And you know what I find is, lots of times we miss those opportunities. We don't give God the credit. Amen. When it comes to time, of course, when they come to the promised land, and the manna just stops, and God tells them, now you have fertile soil. Now go and grow your own food. And sometimes God says, your needs is going to be met by just your job. It's okay. It's good. But sometimes you will also be placed like Philip, in front of not your own need, but needs of others. And God is calling you to be an answer to other people's prayers. Amen. So, I was once again reminded of a guy called George Mueller. How many have ever heard of George Mueller? Somebody has. He was grown up in Germany. I think it was 1820. And his father was to do with working for the government, doing taxes or something like that, finances. And George was a rebel. He was a liar. He was a thief. He stole from his dad. He stole from his friends. He was a drunkard. He ended up in jail. His dad thought, yeah, I'm going to fix him. I'm going to send him to seminary, going to Bible school. And he was a brat in the Bible school and seminary. And he continues his bad behavior of stealing and cheating. But one day, a friend said, I'm going to this little church, and there is a prayer meeting. And would you come? And when he came, God touched his life. And he had a conviction of his heart. And he turned his life over to Jesus. And then he wrote to his dad and told his dad about what God had done in his life. And his dad wanted nothing to do with him. Isn't that amazing? You know, I find that sometimes, you know, when people are struggling with, when the kids are struggling with drugs and stuff, and then they turn over to life, then the parents get mad because they go to church. Just a side comment. It's not part of my sermon. But he feels a call. He ended up being a pastor. And then he looks. I don't know if some of you know the history of 1840s, 50s, 60s in England. There was Industrial Revolution. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of families went to the cities to work in factories. Many died from pollution and work. And kids was left as orphans. And many kids as low as young as 7 years old was employed in factories. They had no schooling. They had no future. And many of them would die in those factories. Well, George Mueller saw it. He saw the need. They had no daily bread. They had basic needs were not met. So he said, God, I feel you're giving me a call to start an orphanage. And he built an orphanage for 2,000 children. But the neat thing about George Mueller was he made a commitment, and he had learned it as a pastor. God, you're the source of everything. And I'm not gonna let anybody know my needs. I'm going to pray. And the needs are going to be met because you're going to put on somebody's heart to give. And he never went short. He built this building. He bought these properties because people gave. And what's interesting, I have his diary, that a book was written over his diary. Sometimes the cupboards were bare. And he had 1,000 kids in one of the buildings. He said, set the table. And they set the table. And then they sat down and he said, let's give grace. Let's say thanks. How many of you know that takes faith? You know, the cupboards are bare. There's no food. The cook looks bewildered. And you sit down, let's pray. And time again, he shares in his diary, somebody came knocking on the door, and there was food for all of them. Now, this man, they figured that $7.5 million went through his hands. He never asked anybody for anything. He had 10,000 orphans going through his schools. He had 122,000 persons being taught by his schools. he printed, because he had a printing press, he printed 282,000 Bibles. He printed 112 million religious books, pamphlets, tracts. When he died, he had $600 in his bank account. He was one of the main supporters of Hudson Taylor. I don't really know the guy, but what I'm saying is, George Mueller saw the needs of hundreds of children. And he said, God, I want to be part of the answer to these kids. But I need you. So how were the needs met? God was the source. God is the source. And God put it on people's hearts to give. God used people. God used people. And I don't know about you, but I like to be used by God. I'd rather be the one who is used by God than being the orphans who is hungry. Amen. So here in this story, where Jesus has 5,000, there is a young man and a disciple called Andrew. And he says, well, there is a boy here. And he has five fishes and two loaves. Five loaves and two fishes. I got that reversed. He has some pickled herring. And some bread. And Andrew says, but how much would that feed? You know, if you had 5,000 or 10,000 people, you may go to your own fridge and say, well, that can feed maybe 10 people. Or Doris might go to her freezer and it may feed 100 people. But there's still 10,000 people and that ain't going to be enough. So there's a miracle. But Andrew, somehow he thought, this is what we have. And what did Jesus do? He said, sit down, everybody. And then he took what he had. How many likes to be the boy? How many likes to be the boy who had mom's lunch? So sometimes the way God provides is, it's because he's taking what we have, what little we have, and we multiply it. He took it, the five loaves and two fishes, and he brought them from what is earthly realm, and he brought them into the kingdom realm. And he gave thanks. And as he gave thanks, God multiplied. And he says, now gather up the leftovers. And there was 12 baskets of leftovers. How many think that's a wonderful miracle? Praise Jesus. Sometimes God wants to use you. Sometimes. And I don't know, I often find that when I am in the call that God has, that's when I also see more of his miracles or provisions. It's like if I'm open myself and says, God, you can give me this. And God said, okay, if I give you that, are you then willing to give it out here? I will get to be a conduit for my blessings so that you don't occupy, you don't take the manna and you store it up so that it rots, but, and you put it away so that bankers get the benefit. No, you go here and you see the need and you become part of the provision. I love that. I'm not always good at it. I was in Kenya and the church has given me some money, and I put it in a bank account. And I knew from past experience that usually it will run out. So I put some of my own money in the same bank account, just so that I had some in case. And when I was there, sure enough, towards the end, Ida said, Hans, do you pay your elders, the board members, a salary? I said, no, they volunteer. And he said, well, our elders, They're hungry. Well, I said, I might have something I can help you with. So I go to my account, bank account, to the teller. And I was thinking I was going to give them everybody $20. But because I got confused in exchange or whatever, I emptied the account and gave it to the elders. And they were blessed beyond belief because now they could eat for a month. I come home and I forget totally about it. But there is a principle in the Bible that says, give and it will be given unto you, shaken down, pressed together, overflow. How many of us there's promises in the Bible that you can stand on? I forgot all about it. But those two amazing blessings that came. One was that when I shared this story, this little young lady here, she's blessed beyond socks. The Holy Spirit just captured her. And because of that, the door to the healing laws got open. And we now have a ministry. And it's the very story I shared about the elders and they're hungry and God just did something in Kelly's life. Also, and I didn't realize it at the time, but Janice's sister's boy, he's an accountant. And he said to me, Hans, I want to do your income tax for you for free. I don't need to pay $400 or something to get it done. So that sounds pretty good to me. Well, when I got my income tax return, I was actually $1,000 more than I had ever expected. And you know, I never clicked together the connections. But I got more back than I gave to those elders. And you see, God wants us to make the connections. Because when we make the connections, we have faith for the next thing. And we can give him the thanks. Amen. He is the source of everything. He's the source of all your needs being met. Now then Jesus goes on in the story of John. And he turns the apple cart over. How many knows that sometimes Jesus is not really seeker friendly? Sometimes he says things that just blows people away. And so he feeds them, he leaves them, goes to another side of the Sea of Galilee. And they come after him. And when they come after him, he turns to them and he says, very truly, this is 26. I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He's saying, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. He's saying what I often see happening is people have an issue. They have a need, and that is a genuine need. The marriage is coming apart. There is financial struggles. There is healing. There is different needs they have. And they come, and they want that need met, and it's great. It's awesome. But that's all they want. And he's saying, that's not why I came. I didn't come just so that you can have your stomachs filled. Just so that you can have your marriage restored. No, there is something that you need even more than those things. And if you receive that, you will have all your most fundamental needs met. Amen. So he goes on. And they ask him, so what must we do to do the works God requires? And God, he says, it is to believe. The work of God is to believe. And then they said, well, give us a sign. What signs are you going to give us to prove that we have to believe in you? Some of you are sitting here and says you would like a sign to, that Jesus will somehow prove himself. And he said, Moses gave us manna in the desert. What are you going to do? How many knows that just saw a miracle? And then he says, it is not Moses who gave you the manna. See, sometimes we get mixed up. We think it's our skills and abilities and our good farming skills that gives us the, you know, but God is behind it. And he says, it's the Father, it's my Father who gave you the manna. And then he goes on to say that he is the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How about we read that together? Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What an amazing claim. And of course, now he's getting into the spiritual needs, right? He's talking about the hunger for acceptance, the hunger for love, and how we try to satisfy that with all the wrong things. But he says, no, I am here for you if you just read this bread. And then he goes further. How many knows that in the Jewish culture, you're not supposed to eat blood or meat with blood? Well, he goes on to say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will never go hungry and never go thirsty again. But you will have eternal life. Well, they are disgusted. What he's saying is, if you come to Jesus and trust him and feed of him, not because of what you can get out of him, but because of who he really is and what he came to do. Your most fundamental needs will be met. All of them. So how do we do that? We do it by eating his word. By eating his word. His word is life. He says, my words are spirit and they are life. And when you get it, your fundamental needs of forgiveness of sin takes place. When you get it, your identity becomes established not in the world but in him. When you get it, you actually get given the promise of eternal life. Doris celebrate 50. You know, that's nothing. How about 5,000 years from now, and he can celebrate her 5,000th birthday? That's the promise that he's given. If you feed on him, your fundamental needs of forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, and new identity is written in the Lamb's book of life through him. Your spirit, who is dead to the world, is dead, becomes alive because you're feeding the very thing and the only thing that really can make your spirit alive. And when there is hopelessness, there is becomes hope. Amen. And I see that at the Healing Lodge. So there's struggles, but sometimes, bow, they get it, and hope comes. Amen. You see, God has a plan for us, and it's not to harm us, but it is to give us an amazing future. When you eat of him, your basic needs for acceptance takes place. Because Jesus, the God of heaven, the manna from heaven, went to the cross. And he said, I'll take all your shame. I'll take all your guilt. And I declare to you, you're mine. Amen. But you're not going to get it by watching TV. You're not going to get it by just playing the computer games or reading the news, even though the Maverick News is a good paper. You're not going to get it from that. You're going to have to get it from Jesus and his word. Amen. Amen. Can I have the worship team come? How do you think George Mueller would ever have the courage and the faith to step out and on a take an adventure to feed 2,000 children at one time? And just trust God. How do you think he ever did that? How many likes to know? By the leading of the Spirit, the promises that he saw in the Bible, such as Philippians 4, when it says, all your needs shall be met according to glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He saw that even you seek the kingdom of God first, all these needs will be met. That God will provide for what he calls you to. He saw it by coming to Jesus. Amen. Faith rose up. I said, I can do this. And he practiced it. When he was a pastor, he said, I don't want a salary. Elders, don't listen to this part. He said, I don't want salaries. And back then they had a practice that you could rent a pew. So the rich people would rent the front pews because that's how they raise money. So the poor were sitting in the back or standing in the back. And George Mueller said, enough of that. No more renting pews. I don't think no salary. I'm going to trust God. He's going to be my source. And him and his wife, they learned to trust God. And from there, God brought him to a place where God could trust him with thousands of orphans. May God lead you to a place where you trust him for all your needs and recognize he's the source of everything. And may you come to a place where he will use you to meet the needs of others. Amen. Let's stand, Paul.